It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning. And don't you just love that theme music from CBS? Oh, welcome to Talkin' Golf on this Masters Final Round Sunday. I'm Ann Liguori, delighted to be joining you on this April 14th, 2019. And this Masters show is brought to you by Golf Ireland. There's never been a better time. Tee up your trip at ireland.com. How are we doing this morning? Wow. So glad you can join me where I am broadcasting from Augusta National in their gorgeous media building, which opened 3 years ago. And what a special week. My favorite sporting event on the planet. I'm sure it is yours, many of yours as well. I want to hear all about it, so give us a call, 877-337-6666, and let's talk about this most captivating Masters. Ed Arzuman is on the board. Mike McCann will be doing updates all morning. We're going to have a good morning. We're here for 1 hour. It's going to go very quick, I'm sure. And this week has just been mesmerizing every single round. And the scoring has just been unbelievable. Yesterday's round three was a record scoring day here at the Masters. 45 of 65 players were at par or better. 20 players scoring in the 60s. Three guys shot an 8 under 64, Tony Finau, Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay, one shy of the course record. You know, it has rained here pretty much almost every day this week, except yesterday. And in last Wednesday's press conference, Chairman Fred Ridley actually even said that the course would play soft. They knew that based on the forecast. And Patrick Cantlay, after his 64 yesterday, said, "It was the easiest scoring condition-wise. The wind was not blowing too much. The greens were soft. The hole locations were much easier than the last few days." And it certainly has been kind of like a perfect storm regarding the rain, the humidity, which have made these greens just very, very receptive, and hence the low scores. Today, the forecast just looks wicked in the afternoon. 30% chance for showers this morning, isolated thunderstorms, 80% chance for thunderstorms after 4 p.m., heavy rain and strong winds possible. So due to the impending storm forecast for this afternoon, Augusta National announced yesterday that the schedule for today's final round has indeed been revised. It's actually going to start at the bottom of the hour at 7:30. It will be the first time ever in the final round here at the Masters that they will use two different tees. Threesomes will go off on the first tee and the 10th tee. And I remember hearing the local weatherman saying that there could even be hail in the area and possible tornado warnings. So very, very smart move by Augusta National to move the final round to start this morning. They're really getting in bad in front of a crazy situation later on. And I heard that they're not going to do the green jacket ceremony afterwards. They want to just move all the patrons off the course upon the conclusion of the championship as quickly as possible. So they're doing everything they can to get this final round in and to get everybody out of here before the impending storm. So anyway, what a leaderboard. Francesco Molinari shooting a 6 under 66 this after rounds of 70 and 67. He has just been a machine. He is the reigning Open champion, and he's just really been a pleasure to watch all year. He won the Open at Carnoustie last July to win his first major title. In fact, he was actually paired with Tiger in the final round at Carnoustie. He shot a 69. It was a very windy day there. He finished 8 under overall, and actually Tiger was leading midway through that final round at Carnoustie and ended up shooting a 5 under. Molinari said, though, yesterday he will not be thinking about Carnoustie today. Yesterday he sunk 4 straight birdies on holes 12 through 15, along with 2 birdies on the first 9. He hit 10 of 14 fairways, 13 of 18 greens, went bogey-free for the second straight day. We have some sound bites for you. from last night. Here's Francesco Molinari talking about his main focus heading into this morning's final round.
I think today, again, we did it very well strategy-wise. Hit the ball maybe a little less well than yesterday, but hold some very good parts, especially 4 and 5 to save par. So obviously, I can only be happy about today, and it's going to be an exciting day tomorrow.
Meaning today. Meaning in a couple hours this morning. He also talks about playing with none other than Tiger Woods.
I don't want to go too far the other way. Obviously, he's playing great, and there's a lot of guys playing great. So, I wish I had only to worry about him, but there's a few more, I think, that are going to come out tomorrow and try to shoot a low one.
All right. Now, right behind him, Tony Finau and Tiger Woods. Let's start with Tony Finau, 29 years old. He just bombs the ball off the tee. Seriously, this guy leads the field in driving distance through the first three rounds. He's averaging 318.8 yards. And you remember Finau from last year. He was playing in the Masters for the first time last year. He aced a hole in the par 3 competition, and he started celebrating and sprains his ankle. And literally played on a sprained ankle all week and finished tied for 10th. So anything this guy does not surprise me. He drained last year 6 birdies on holes 12 to 17. And, he can play. And when he gets on a streak, watch out. He shot one of the low rounds of the day yesterday along with Webb Simpson and Patrick Cantlay, 8 under 64. He birdied the first three holes, eagled the eighth, tying a tournament record on the first 9-30. He then went out and birdied 13 and 15. Here's Tony Finau talking about his great second nine.
Yeah, those are huge. The putt I made on 13 and 15 were huge. That up and down on 13 today was pretty special. I had a lie where the ball was way above my feet on my second shot after a good drive, and that's just how that hole is. I end up double crossing, hitting a hard pull, and so I'm on the downslope of this bunker. Hit a great bunker shot, about 12 feet, and drip that in.
All right, so Finau says he was motivated to take up the game after watching Tiger here back in 1997. Finau talking about playing with Tiger this morning.
Oh, man, it would be an unbelievable thing for me and something that I've dreamed of for a long time. As a kid, I've always wanted to compete against him and have the opportunity to, I've dreamed of playing in the final group with him in a major championship, and it'd be quite a cool thing for me if I were to play with him tomorrow in the final group of a Masters.
All right. Tiger Woods is in the hunt, ladies and gentlemen, and at 11 under, Tiger will start the final round at 9:20 this afternoon, only 2 shots back. Interesting stat, 4 times at 11 under or better through 54 holes in his 21 previous starts at Augusta National, he has gone on to win. When he won here in 97, Tiger was 15 under heading into the final round. When he won in 2001, he was 12 under. 2002 and 2005, he was 11 under. How great would it be if Tiger wins his 15th major title? It has been 11 years since he won the 14th major, 2008 Torrey Pines, U.S. Open. And honestly, that seems like another lifetime ago. For Tiger, it certainly was. I mean, you're talking scandal, injuries, back surgeries. He went through it all. And, right now the Tiger we're seeing is a different man than the one who dominated the game years ago. The transformation of Tiger Woods is a subject we will certainly talk about this morning, I'm sure. He has said over and over again that he's thankful just to be able to play again. There was a time in the fall of 2017, I remember, when he said he didn't think he would be able to continue playing. Fast forward, he has a very good opportunity to win his 5th green jacket today. All right, here's Tiger talking about preparing for today.
Well, if I'm teeing off about 9:30-ish, I'll probably wake up around 4, maybe 3:45, and start the process of getting this body ready and getting going and getting after it.
And here's Tiger talking about contending here at the Masters.
It's been a while since I've been in contention here, but then again, the last 2 majors, counts for something. So I've been in the mix with a chance to win major championships in the last 2 years, and so that helps. And tomorrow, it'll be –
it'll be interesting to see if that wind comes up like it's forecasted. You know, 15 to 20 miles an hour around this golf course is it's going to be testy, and got to be committed, hit the proper shots, and then hopefully we time it right.
Definitely, wind gusts should start coming in around noon, according to the forecast. Staying with us this afternoon, maybe 25 to 35 mile per hour wind gust, so that's definitely going to be a factor. And finally, Tiger was asked if he feels pressure here anymore or if he's immune to it.
The day I feel pressure is the day I quit. I always thought that if you care about something, obviously you're going to feel pressure. And I've always felt it from, you know, the first times I remember ever playing a golf tournament to now. That hasn't changed.
All right, well, we have time to squeeze in a call, right, Eddie? 877-336-6666. I'm sure you all have an opinion on this incredible Masters, this final round. Let's see, who's on the line, Eddie? Let's go to Philip from New Jersey. Good morning, Philip. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
So I have a question. With the early start today, is this going to be a positive impact or a negative impact on the players?
It's a very good question, Philip. I think a lot of them might be happy to get this round started early and, you know, less time to think about. Normally, you know, going into the final round, they have all morning and they tee off in the afternoon. And, you know, there's so much, you know, to think about. There's a lot of pressure. Nerves come into play. So you heard Brooks Koepka say, yeah, I'm just going to go out there and, you know, get on with it. And I think they like the idea that there's less time. I mean, obviously, they have to get up in, you know, 4 in the morning and prepare to come out here. But, you know, that's life. And we can't control the weather. So, but I think they're going to do well. I think they're happy to get out here and you know, get this done. And they don't have to worry about thinking about it, and the nerves, you know, hopefully they can keep the nerves under control. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, come back, and Ron Cyrak will join me. Ron is a correspondent for the Golf Channel and Global Golf Post. We'll get his insight on the many Masters he has covered, and this in particular will take your phone calls all the way through. So give us a call now. Get on the line at 877-337-6666. We'll be back after this.
Yeah, the wind was down, and it was just humid, so the greens were, you know, receptive. You know, with the sun coming out, a little breeze might not be as receptive coming in, but, you know, this place, you know, they've had to deal with a lot of water this week, and so I wasn't expecting the greens to be that firm, and I know we have storms coming in tomorrow, so who knows what the scores will be like.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Masters final round Sunday, and this Masters show is brought to you by Golf Ireland. There has never been a better time. Tee up your trip at Ireland.com, and the cut you just heard coming into this segment was Webb Simpson, one of the three players who shot the low round of 864 yesterday. We're going to get to some phones, and then Ron Cyrak will join us. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Let's say good morning to Walter from Long Island. Hey, Walter.
Hey, Ann. How are you this morning?
I am good. How's it going? Are you loving this Masters or what?
I really am. You know what? I'm very excited for this, you know, final, I guess, threesome today of Molinari, Finau, and Woods. I'm actually hoping Finau wins just to see him win his first major. I think that would be excellent considering the other two also, you know, have their majors. But I just think it's great, and I'm real excited to watching golf today. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I just think all three rounds have been just so captivating. It seems like, you know, even Thursday's round with so many guys in the lead and Friday and the leaderboard so tight, it just felt like, you know, a final round Sunday on every single day. So I'm glad you're enjoying it, Walter. And, hey, fasten your seatbelts. It could be another crazy ride. Thanks for checking in. Rob from Lake Success, you're on the Fan. Hey, Rob.
And always a pleasure. I'm sitting up here in Boston. I got the Boston Marathon tomorrow, so I run it many times, and weather is my issue as well, so I understand what you're talking about. We're talking rain all day and possible some headwind. So one thing runners and golfers don't like is the wind and inclement weather. As well, I'm loving this. This is, to me, to have a threesome. From a personal standpoint, I can't wait to get my event on. I'm excited. I don't want to sit around. You know, you want to get out there. You want to play. You want to participate, because the longer you sit, the more your head can play the game. In a threesome, it's really like match play. To me, this is unbelievable seeing Tiger. I wasn't a Tiger fan years ago. I love the guy now. I think he's a new man. He's grown up so much. How can you not root for him at this point? He'll be the greatest comeback. One of the greatest comebacks, in my opinion, in sports, from where he was 3-4 years ago, even a year and a half ago. And for him to win the Masters, I think it's match play. It's these three guys. It's going to be these three guys most likely. I mean, someone could come up. You know, it's such a tight leaderboard, and as you know. But, you know, watching Tiger's whole career as an amateur, when he was playing in the amateur events, U.S. amateur through Stanford, and, you know, I've seen the guy's whole career, and this is an incredible ride. If he pulls this off, it'd be the greatest comeback. I didn't think he'd win a major.
I know. Who would thought? I mean, he didn't even think he was going to play. I can remember at the
amazing.
President's
and
Cup.
All
at
the
At Liberty National. What's that?
With the knee injury, with his knees and his Achilles and his back. I mean, this is it's unreal.
It is unbelievable.
I think, you know, Molinari, I think he's going to pull it off. I think this guy's like ice. But you know what? It's going to be a fabulous, this is turning out to be, and I love the 9 o'clock start. I think it's better for them. The only thing I'm missing is that, you know, we like to watch, you know, 6-7 o'clock. You know, finish late in the afternoon. We're going to miss that this year. But what are they calling? How bad is the weather supposed to be, like 2 o'clock?
All right. I'm going to thanks for checking in, and I'll tell you more about the weather. I mean, I said it earlier, but, you know, there's a chance for thunderstorms this morning. And then this afternoon, there is a 70% chance for thunderstorms after 4 p.m. Heavy downpours and strong winds possible. Wind gusts are supposed to be, could get up to 25 to 30 miles per hour. We're going to get to Franklin, Connecticut in a second, but I want to bring in Ron Cyrak, who is a colleague of mine for many, many years. How many Masters does this run?
This is number 30.
Number 30, Golf Channel contributor and special contributor to Global Golf Post. Ron, thanks so much for joining me. And we have to start with Tiger. I mean, to me, it's just, you know, fascinating, the transformation of Tiger Woods. I mean, when we watched him dominate, he wasn't that nice. He wouldn't sign autographs. He wouldn't talk to the media. He just, you know, I read a book about him where, you know, the house that he rented here in Augusta National would be trashed every year. I mean, all these things you read and you know, just the feeling you got from him was not positive energy. And even though he was dominating and really creating history, but now he's a new guy. He's a nice, friendly, compassionate Tiger Woods.
Yeah, back then you were in awe of him, but you didn't adore him. And he's a much more likable character now. I was on Wednesday night. We had the Golf Writers Association of America awards dinner. Tiger was there. It was the most open and honest I've ever heard him speak in a public forum. He talked about that 2 years ago when he was at the Champions dinner here and he couldn't play, he thought he'd never play again. And if you had asked me a year ago, would Tiger ever win a major championship again, I'd have said no. And this comeback is truly remarkable and I think unexpected by almost anybody paying attention.
Perhaps except for him. I mean, even this season, you know, it was shaky because, you know, he pulled out of the Arnold Palmer Invitational with a neck strain. And he was saying at the Players, he said, listen, I can't practice that much anymore. I can't play. I have to, my schedule, I really have to be very careful scheduling my tournaments because his body is fragile and he's 43.
I think of all the players today, the early start may impact him the most because while for everyone not waiting around to that 2:30 start is a good thing for him, it meant, as he said, getting up at 3:45 in the morning because he has this really elaborate stretching routine and wake-up routine to get his back ready to play golf. So it's going to be a long day for him.
877-337-6666 is the number to call. It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. Frank from Connecticut, you're on the Fan. Good morning.
Good morning, Ann and Ron. And Ann, it's so nice to have you back on, and I certainly hope this is going to be a weekly occasion again this year.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I'm a huge Tiger fan, as we know, have been from day one, and looking at the facets of his game right now, driver's been pretty good, except agonizingly on the par fives. But the iron play has been absolutely stellar, and it's just amazing to see his iron play right now.
He has been so precise with his irons, and you know, even though, like, Thursday and Friday, he missed a lot of the short putts, Ron. I mean, he was dropping these long bombs and then missing the short ones. But yesterday, he came back, and, you know, he putt much better yesterday. And just, you know, how he even got out of trouble was the Tiger of all.
Yeah, he had several errant drives in a row, number 9, number 11, number 13, and he ended up playing those three holes one under par, you know, and that is he's the greatest recovery shot player that I've ever seen. And his putter has always been the eraser for his mistakes, you know. And what we've seen this week is he's putting really well from, like, over 20 feet. He's missed his fair share of 5-6 footers. That'll be the question mark going in today. Those putts that we used to turn our back on, we didn't even pay attention to because we assumed they were going to go in, aren't necessarily falling for him now.
Right. I mean, and you make a good point because, you know, I'm sure he has a whole routine that he has to go through to get his body, you know, stretched out and flexible, and everybody has their routine, their pre-round routine. But with Tiger, it must be a little more involved with all the back surgeries and in all the injuries that he's gone through. And you know, he said yesterday he's going to get up at 3:45, 4 a.m. and start the process.
No 43-year-old athlete ever becomes 23 years old again. That just doesn't happen. And it's particularly true in his case because he has had such a litany of physical issues. 4 surgeries on that left knee, 4 surgeries on his back. And it's going to take a while to wake that body up today. And the interesting thing for him is going to be he's never come from behind to win a major championship. To me, that's one of the oddest statistics of the Tiger Woods era. He was 14-for-14 with the lead on Sunday. Sunday until Wai Yang took him down in 09, but he's never come from behind. He's in that position today, but he's going up against, in Molinari, somebody who you could argue for the last year and a half, 2 years, has been the best player in the world.
Molinari has just been a machine. He is an incredible ball striker. He's not as long off the tee, but he makes up for it with his precision, right? I mean, he's just so solid. And why do you think all of a sudden, it seems, you know, Molinari is a whole new kind of player, so consistent and such a great putter?
He went through some swing changes, and that helped him become more consistent. But he's old school in the sense of, you know, pre-Tiger, the conventional wisdom was always that somebody reached their peak as a golfer in their early and mid-30s, and then Tiger came along, blew that up. Oh, no, you can be great in your early 20s. But he's more old school. It took him a while to learn the game and to really learn how to handle the pressures of a major championship. And we're seeing him right. We saw him in the British Open paired with Tiger on one of the hardest golf course I've ever seen, Carnoustie, and he just handled the back nine there brilliantly. He's not going to go away today. Tiger's going to have to go after him.
He's had no 3 putts all week. He's only had 1 bogey the entire tournament in the first round.
That the par that he made on the 18th hole yesterday. I had a tweet ready to go saying the last pairing tomorrow is going to be Molinari, Finau, and Woods. And then I thought I better wait on this because Molinari might make triple bogey here because he drove it into the
right
pine straw, hit it into the bunker, had a really hard bunker shot, and then he knocks it up to like 3.5 feet and makes the par putt.
That bunker shot was classic. Yeah. He was putting on a clinic out there. He didn't look nervous at all. I mean, it's just so amazing to see, you know, the depth of the field in the men's game and just how great they are. And, you know, I wanted to ask you because the chairman, Fred Ridley, said in his press conference last Wednesday that they knew the course was going to play soft, Ron Czyrak. And do you think they, my opinion, they can't be pleased with all the birdies and all the low scoring. I mean, you can't control Mother Nature, but, you know, this course is, they're going after it. And I'm not quite sure the powers that be at Augusta National are pleased with that.
Well, you know, as much technology as they have here, and they have sub-air drying system under every green and some of the fairways, the course was closed twice early in the week, on Monday and Tuesday, because rain came through. The course just got so soft. But yesterday, they had three rounds of 64 yesterday. That's never happened before at the Masters. They have three scores that low on the same day. So they are probably not happy about that, but I do think it's beyond their control, and they're not going to be bothered about that. The chairman, Ridley, did say some things that I found interesting going forward about whether they're going to make the golf course longer, and he just sort of said, let's wait and see what the RNA and the USGA does about the golf ball, which was an interesting sort of issue to throw out there. So.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of people, including Jack Nicklaus, think the golf ball is the issue.
You know, to me, when it would become an issue, look, it's not an issue for people like me. It's not an issue for the recreational golfer, but for the pro game, we don't want to lose iconic venues like the old course at St. Andrews and Augusta National. It would be like baseball. One of the great things about baseball, Wrigley Field and Fenway Park are still relevant, you know, and we need to maintain that piece of history. And I think that was part of what Chairman Ridley was saying on Wednesday. We're going to do everything we can to protect this iconic venue.
877-337-6666 is the number to call here. All you Masters fans, Anthony from Red Bank, you're on FAN. How are you, Anthony?
How you doing, Anna Ron? Thanks for taking my call. Good morning.
Good morning.
What I wanted to say was, I know historically, I think dating back to the last 23 years, the winner you have to be at least tied for third. So realistically, with today's conditions, how many players do you think honestly have a chance to win it, and more specifically, Dustin Johnson?
Well, first of all, I don't think you have to be tied for third to come in and win. That's not a stat I remember. But how many people have a chance to win? Well, let's look at the leaderboard here. There's, I would say, anybody who is 8 under or lower, wouldn't you, Ron Cyrak? And that would include Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, Justin Harding, Matt Kuchar, Xander, Ian Poulter, Webb Simpson, Brooks. I think Brooks has a really good shot, Ron. I mean, what I love most about Brooks Koepka is mentally, he, I think, is the strongest one out there. When somebody asked him, what will you be thinking about going into, you know, the next round, he said, nothing. I don't want to think about anything. And that is, you know, it's so hard not to think about anything, especially with, you know, the pressure of, you know, final round Sunday at the Masters. But you just don't want to think about anything but your game, each shot, focus. And I think he has just that ultimate focus. And plus, you know, he has to get, you know, hot on the greens. But this guy, he can do everything right.
I think the one thing he does think about, he plays with a healthy chip on his shoulder. He's a three-time major championship winner who thinks he doesn't get as much respect as he deserves, and that's probably true. If you are looking for the people who could come off the pace to win today, he would be my leading candidate, you know. And you know, Molinari's at 13 under. It's all in his hands. If he comes back to the field, he lets those eight people at 8 under par back into it. But if you're looking for somebody who could make a move today, it's Brooks Koepka.
I think you were here last Saturday. I've been here for over a week. And before I let you go, I want to talk about the Augusta National Women's Amateur. It was the inaugural. I got here extra early just so I could be a part of it. Nancy Lopez, Annika Sorenstam, Sari Pack, Lorena Ochoa, they hit the ceremonial tee shots. It was just so amazing to be a part of it. The fact that Augusta National, you know, hosted this first ever women's competition, and boy, what a thrill, right? You were here.
Yeah, I think there were probably millions of people who never watched women's golf before who watched it last Saturday. And I've always felt the biggest critics of the women's game, both among the fans and the media, are people who don't go to it. If you experience the product, you realize how good it is. And again, That event last Saturday showed how brilliant this golf course is. This golf course can be set up to be playable by a wide range of players. And the women held up their end of the bargain. They played great. You know, the fear was, what if people tune in and it's not good golf? It was awesome golf.
Ron Cyrak, thanks so much. I always appreciate your insight. Hope to see you at the PGA Championship at Bethpage. I'm sure
thanks
we
for
will.
Having me on, Ann.
All righty. Thanks so much. And, yes, I just want to throw out a plug to Jennifer Kupcho, who won that women's amateur, shooting a 5-under-67, a birdie 5 of 6 holes on the back. And, boy, what a first women's am it certainly was.
I mean, the thinking there really was just really to try to reestablish what was there before, that it just we had lost over the years. And I think I've heard some good comments. I was at the Champions Dinner last night, and you know, everybody seemed to think it was a good change.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Masters Final Round Sunday, April 14th. This Masters show is brought to you by Golf Ireland. There has never been a better time. Tee up your trip at Ireland.com. And you just heard Chairman Fred Ridley. There are lots of changes continuing here, seemingly every year. When I come here, there's something new. It's an interesting mix of how they can maintain tradition here at the Masters, yet be very innovative and keep up with the times. And joining me right now is Austin Rhodes, who is a local radio host here in Augusta, top-rated, I might add, a longtime colleague and friend. Welcome to the show, Austin Rhodes.
Thank you, Ann. Great to be with you again.
Great to be with you. I do want to get to some of these calls before we talk about some of the changes here and some fun stories here, because you've been here for many, many, many years. You grew up across the street, right?
Right across the street, living behind National Hill Shopping Center from the time I was a very small child until I graduated from high school. Yeah.
And, you know, Augusta National continues to buy up a lot of the land in this area, right? What do they plan to do with all this property?
Well, it's funny that there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that used the term insulate, and that's not true at all. Every square inch that the Augusta National has acquired has been a utility purchase. They're using it for something. They're using it either for parking, they're using it for technical support, they're using it for better access. And every single improvement that has been made is literally that, an improvement over what was before. And by the way, for anyone that is concerned that they're, you know, pushing out landowners or homeowners or business owners, it's like winning the lottery when the Augusta National decides to buy your property, and they're getting quadruple and even 5-6 times property values routinely for any purchase that's made around here.
Well, they've made so many changes. I mean, just this media building used to be
a parking lot.
A parking lot where we used to park, and it's a huge space, $60 million just for this media building, and I understand they're building a global broadcast center across the street.
Yes, and utilizing some technology that is pretty state-of-the-art, they're going to go under Washington Road, which is a major six-lane thoroughfare. And they're going to go under, well, 6 lanes in certain places, 4 lanes there. It's using technology that they usually use in places like Disney World. Talking about the tunnels that go under Disney World. And
they're putting a tunnel under Washington
Road. Under Washington Road without disturbing Washington Road. I'm not quite sure how they're doing that.
And it will probably be done by next Masters, right?
Because that's the target.
When they announced that they were going to, did they announce they were going to have a new media building the Wednesday of the year before it was actually done? And I don't know, I didn't see any construction. Did you?
You talking about the press building?
Yeah.
We saw the construction from a distance. What was interesting was they kept the old press building in place for 1 year, just in case there was a weather foul up or a delay here. And that old building sat empty that 1 year. And then the next year we came back, and where it once stood was the new retail center. I mean, it's amazing the way and how quickly that things can get changed around here. Our local congressman, Rick Allen, owns a very large construction company, and they came to him asking him to consult on some of these projects, and he said, "This is wonderful. God bless you. We're not equipped to work that fast. You're going to have to bring in specialists." And they brought in construction specialists from all over the world to get it done as quickly as they did.
Yeah, I mean, if they want something to happen, you better believe it's going to happen, and it's going to be perfect when it does happen. All right, let's go to the phones here at 877-337-6666. Bob from Remsenburg, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Ann, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's going great. You know, I'm happy. The pins go in on the greens on Monday at the Great West Hampton Country Club, so you know I'm a happy camper.
Oh, you definitely will be. You know, I'm having my 21st annual Anne LaGoria Foundation Charity Golf Classic on Thursday, June 20th at West Hampton Country Club. Such a historic course, and I can't wait because we've started the tournament there. It was there the first 6 years of the charity tournament's inception, so we're going back after all these years.
Yeah, I know they're going to take great care of you. It's a great course, and you put on a great event, so all the luck to you. But I wanted to ask you if you think that Tiger, I know his game is obviously diminished due to his physical and other issues, but do you still think he has that intimidation factor for some of these guys who are now in contention but grew up watching him?
No, I do not think he still intimidates these guys. Because they might have grown up idolizing him, and many are in the game because of him. Finau said that he's playing because of watching Tiger Woods win the Masters in the 90s. But no, I don't think they're intimidated by Tiger Woods anymore. I must say, though, the eye of that Tiger, the look, the focus, that glaze of the Tiger of old that dominated, we saw yesterday, and he's back. I mean, is he as great as he was when he dominated? No, but he's solid enough and sharp enough and playing well enough to definitely win here. I don't think Francesco Molinari is going to be intimidated by him playing today. I don't think Finau will be intimidated by him playing with him today. The crowds will be different. The galleries, obviously more people will be following them, and you know that's something you have to get used to. But they are not intimidated by Tiger Woods anymore. They're impressed by him, and they obviously look up to him as a player, but I don't think they're intimidated by him. Thanks for the call, Rob.
And yes. If I could add a quick note about that, what's interesting about Tiger, the caller made a point that his game was diminished. It's not his drives and it's not his short game that's failing him, it's his putter. And, you know, the putter has nothing to do with any debilitation that he's had or any problem that he's had. And how many shots that we counted up yesterday? 7 shots that were missed putts that he should have easily held. Where would he be now with those 7 shots in the bank?
Yeah, no, he missed some of the short ones. And I had a good question the other day on CBS Sports Radio Network. The host asked me, you know, is it usual for, you know, why is he missing, you know, one of the greatest players in the history of the game? Why is he missing the short putts? Well, you know what? The shortest putts are the easiest ones to miss. You know, you start thinking about it. But he had said after Friday's round that he was happy with his line with many of those putts, and so he wasn't going to let it bother him that he missed some of those short putts because he was online, and out here you have to be so precise and very lucky as well. I mean,
absolutely.
It's so tough out here to
it is interesting though that since he's had that major surgery, his drives are not suffering and his short game's not suffering. It's the putts. That's fascinating.
Bob, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your phone call. Let's say hi to Will from the Bronx. Good morning, Will. You're on the Fan.
Oh, hi, Ann. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say one thing about Tiger. That is it true that the better these guys get, the more inclined the public is to love them? Because when he was great, they loved him. But it seems like they love him more since he's trying to come back after being a bad boy.
That's an interesting point. I mean, I lost a lot of respect for him when he went through, you know, that scandal, and he had a lot of issues beyond the injuries. But I think people love the comeback story. I really do. I think he, if he wins today, it would certainly be one of the greatest comebacks in the history of sports, based on what he went through in his personal life, what he went through with his knees and with his back. So, yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people can't root for him based on what he did, but I know one thing. He wants to be a really great father. I mean, I think his life changed when he realized his children were old enough to, you know, to go on the internet and to read stories about him. He doesn't want to be that father to those kids. He wants to be, you know, a father that his kids can look up to. And so I've heard stories that he's a very good father, and he, you know, I think if I'm guessing what he's trying to do now, he's trying to show them that he's solid on and off the golf course. They never saw him win those 14 majors. And I think, personally, his motivation right now is to win so his children can see him win a major title and or any tournament for that matter. They were too young when he was dominating the game. So, you know, to me, I can support somebody who realizes they made mistakes and has turned their, you know, their character around. So I can support him and I can root for him. And plus, as far as history goes, it would be one of the greatest stories, don't you think?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, there's a reason he won the Ben Hogan Award this week from the Professional Golf Writers Association. And, you know, again, there's so many people that have worked their way back from debilitating illnesses and injuries, not at this level, that are inspired by what he's done. I mean, no one has ever in the game of golf come back from this considerable surgery. So you're looking at history in the making yet again with Tiger Woods.
Austin, you've lived here for many, many years. You were friends with Larry Mize and Larry's family for years. You lived across the street from Augusta National. What has surprised you the most about Augusta National and the changes through the years?
I think if there's been anything that surprised me, it was the lack of internal awareness within the city of Augusta as to how special being adjacent to this club was going to be from both a business sense and a personal sense. You have to understand, there was a movie theater that I went to from 1968 until it closed in 1996 that was a chip shot across the street from this golf course, and no one thought twice about it. Shoe stores, jewelry stores. I mean, there's the city of Augusta is right outside the gates of Augusta National, and there have been many, many folks that have questioned why it took so long for the real estate speculators to come in. And it was the new generation of green jackets is what did it. The older set had absolutely no intention of growing outside the original footprint of Augusta National. As a matter of fact, you can go back, I believe, from 1933 up until the 80s. There was not any expansion square footage-wise outside the fences of Augusta National. That has changed. And when I was growing up, driving down Berkman's Road during the fall and winter months when the foliage was off the trees, you could slow down and turn to your left and see golfers putting on number four. You could hear conversations between them. That's how close the golf action was to normal life here in Augusta. And the fact that so many people had no earthly idea it was going to explode the way that it did, that was my biggest surprise.
I had a very interesting conversation earlier this week with none other than Bobby Jones' grandson, Dr. Robert Jones. He's the fourth. He's a sports psychologist in Atlanta. And boy, the stories he told about his grandfather, Bobby Jones, of course, the greatest amateur in the history of the game, who co-founded Augusta National with Clifford Roberts and the Masters. So that was, I'm sure you've run into Bobby Jones the fourth.
And, absolutely.
He hangs out here a lot, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, and that's another thing that you need to understand is the current generation of members at Augusta National are the great-grandchildren, or at least of that generation, from the original founders. And so, you know, technology and real estate acquisition, this is not anything that they're afraid of doing. This is not anything that they're afraid to embrace. And as you mentioned in your opening comments, and you hit the nail on the head, this is the most fascinating combination of innovation and tradition in all of sports. I saw when they redid Lambeau Field, when they redid Yankee Stadium, those are basically new facilities. Augusta National, between number 1 and number 18, it's basically the same golf course. Everything else around it, that was cutting edge.
Thank you so much, Austin Rhodes, for joining me. Boy, I knew this hour would go fast, but this is ridiculously fast. I mean, enjoy the Masters, the final round. Francesco Molinari leads by 2 at 13 under. Tony Finau, Tiger Woods, 2 shots behind. Will Tiger win his 15th major, his 5th green jacket? Ugh. It's going to be so exciting. My thanks to Ron Syrak, my thanks to Austin Rhodes, and to Ed Arzuman in the studio, Mike McCann doing updates. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Enjoy the final round, and I will talk to you on the final Sunday from the PGA Championship in Bethpage in mid-May, as well as doing updates there and at the U.S. Open. We'll also have a show on Sunday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you from the PGA Championship.